So today is the 22nd of February, the 7th of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday and Yahrzeit. Why Haman thought Adar would be a good month to kill the Jews, because it was his Yahrzeit, not realizing it was also his birthday. Okay, and we are starting Shmuel Bet. And I mentioned last time when we ended Shmuel Aleph that these are artificial separations created by, I think, the King James Bible. And there's a lot of disagreement about where a more natural break might be. Rav Bazak, in his writings, thinks that chapter 2 would be a better place to begin a new sefer, if you had to do it, but really it's one complete sefer. We're going to read through the whole, actually this is not the whole perek, this is about two-thirds, and I left out to save for next time, David's famous eulogy of Yonatan, which we've referenced a few times over our learning. So I left that for its own shiur. But just to give you a sense of why it actually kind of makes sense to start things here, it might make sense. Hi, we just started because we were all, except, okay. So if you look at the very first words of the first pasuk, it says, "Vehi achrei mot Shaul," and it was after the death of Shaul. And now, if you look on page 2, I didn't number, I'm sorry, I forgot. So at the end of the English translation, I just put in the first phrases from Yehoshua, the first phrase from Yehoshua and Shoftim. So Yehoshua is Vayi Achrei Mot Moshe Avid Hashem. So Yeshua begins with the death of Moshe, and Shoftim, Vayi Achrei Mot Yehoshua. Shoftim begins with the death of Yehoshua. So it actually does seem natural in that sense. On the other hand, we're going to see that this chapter is really a continuation of the last chapter, which was the death of Shaul, and it just continues on with that. And chapter 2 is really when we're going to start the official beginning of the official reign of David HaMelech. So that's the question of whether or not this is a good place to begin a new sefer. Okay, so what I want to do here is a little different than I usually do. I want to read through the perek, and then I want to read through some of the commentaries on the perek, and then I want to get into some of the issues that are brought up in the perek. Is everyone okay if we go to like 10:15?
Sure.
Okay, good.
Well, we started by.
Yeah, okay. So let's read. Vehi achrei mot Shaul. And it was after the death of Shaul. V'David shav mehakot et Amalek. And David returned from smiting Amalek. And we're going to see that Amalek, it's not repeated 7 times, which is usually what you need to make it like the theme of the chapter. It is repeated here 3 times. You can see I bolded them, and it's very meaningful when and where it's repeated and how it's used. And just to remember, one of the reasons why Shaul died, as the necromancer told him, was because he didn't kill Amalek. And who's killing Amalek? David HaMelech. While Shaul is being killed by the Plishtim, it's almost like an insult. Like they weren't his mortal, they were our enemies, but they weren't the mortal enemy. It's like he was being killed by the secondary enemy while David's out killing Amalek. Vayeshav David b'Tziklag yamim shnayim. And David returned to Tziklag and he was there for a couple days. Bet, vayhi bayom ha-shlishi, and it was on the 3rd day. This is actually quite a common phrase in Tanakh. Hi! We actually just started,
really?
So you can share with somebody. Yeah,
I believe that.
Everyone was late. Okay, so I didn't focus on it because it was very common, both l'tovu l'ra, this 3rd day, things happening on the 3rd day. So it was on the 3rd day that David had returned to Tziklag. V'hine ish ba min hamachaneh me'im Shaul, and a man came from the camp from Shaul, and you can imagine we're going to try to figure out who this man is. Not for now. Ubigadav kruim v'adama al rosho, and his clothing is torn, and he has dirt on his head. And this Rav Bazak brings in other examples where people do this to themselves in Jewish tradition, and obviously we tear our clothing as well in the face of tragedy. Vehi bevo el David v'yipol arza v'yishtachu. And it was when he came to David that he fell on the ground and he bowed. Okay, so does everyone have an image in their head of this man, Na'ar? And he's completely bedraggled and he falls on the floor and bows. Vayomer lo David. David says to him, Emi zetavo, from where did you come? Vayomer elav mimachane Yisrael nimlatzti. I have escaped from the camp of Israel. Dalid, Vayomer elav David, Mahaya hadavar haged na li. And David said to him, what was this, the thing? What was happening? Tell me. Now. Vayomer asher nas ha'am min ha'melchama. And he said, there were those who fled from the camp. Vigam harbe nafal min ha'am vayamutu. And there were many that fell from the nation and they died. Vigam Sha'ul v'Yonatan beno metu. And also Sha'ul and his son Yonatan died. We're going to focus on this pasuk in the order of how he presents things in a little bit. But just to note right now, he doesn't include Sha'ul's other sons, who we were told in the last chapter also died in the war. So he's sort of, you get a sense here that he's kind of fine-tuning it for David. And I'm interested as we read it, you know, how your impression from the pshat, like what his agenda might be in doing this as we go through it.
Is the first pasuk just foreshadowing then? Because it's kind of...
No, he died already. Sha'ul died. So okay. So it's actually okay. Very interesting the way the Sefer is written.
Right.
It's almost like it was a proto-film director's eye. How we switch from the perspective switches. So we went in the last chapter of Shmuel, it was from the perspective of Sha'ul and his fighting. So that was, we saw it from Sha'ul's eyes, and now we're seeing it from David's eyes. So we keep panning back and forth from set to set, almost. Like David's in Siklag, and Sha'ul's in Har Gilboa, this war, and now we're seeing David finding out about what we already found out about at the end of Sefer Shmuel. Okay, good to clarify. Especially good because some people like say, oh, it's a new Sefer, Shmuel Bet, you know, not knowing how dependent it is on Shmuel Aleph. And especially, it's what we talked about, like whether or not this was even a good break to start Shmuel Bet, which is a King James invention, because it's really just Sefer Shmuel. I know I've told my joke a few times about the guy who goes on the grave tour. Okay, I have to tell it again. So he goes on a tour of Kfarim in Eretz Yisrael, and he's in the place, and they point out this is a Kever Shmuel, and then he decides he enjoyed it so much, he goes on another grave tour, and he's at a completely different place, and the guide says, here's Kever Shmuel, and the guy says, but I was just on another tour, and he said it was over there, and he says, oh, that's Shmuel Aleph, this is Shmuel Bet. It's always funny, right? okay. So, Pasuk, hey. So David has just found out that Sha'ul has died, but he's finding it out from this unknown guy who's completely bedraggled, and nobody else came with him. It seems like he's a lone wolf, lone person who came to inform him. So just to have that in your mind as you see David's response. Vayomer David el ha-na'ar ha-magidlo, and David said to the na'ar who told him this, Ech yedata ki met Sha'ul v'Yonatan beno, how do you know that Sha'ul and his son died? Oh, it's actually interesting, the grammar. Ki met Sha'ul, it's in the singular. And Yonatan, his son. Vav, Vayomer ha-na'ar ha-magidlo. And the na'ar who told him said, it's just interesting, this insertion of the word ha-magidlo, that who's telling him. It's almost as if the author is trying to cast doubt on his narrative, which we already know is going to be really weird compared to what we read from the eyewitness account, from our perch as eyewitnesses in the war. And it's like it's stressing, you know, it didn't have to say in both of these cases. Then David said to the young man who told him, why can't it just say David said to the young man? And the na'ar who told him said, do you see, like, it's already casting aspersions on his narrative because it's like, this is just what he's telling, Magid. And I don't know if I can make this comparison, but just the word agada, a story, a tale, comes from, it's the same root as Magid, like the Hagada, the telling. And so it's just, it's interesting how that it seems very superfluous, and I think it's there that he's just like telling a story, kind of. Okay, so the boy who told him said to him, Nikra, Nikro, Nikreti. this is very interesting. I couldn't find any commentary on this, but all the commentaries seem to imply that nikro nikreti is the same word, even though kuf resh aleph and kuf resh hey are actually very different words. You guys might know from the first word in Vayikra. Do you know what I'm talking about? The little teeny aleph in Vayikra? And the Midrash says, Vayikra is, and he called purposefully, lovingly. And Vayikra with a hey means to happen upon. So whenever Hashem speaks to Moshe, it's Vayikra with an aleph, as opposed to when Hashem speaks to Bilam, where it's Vayikra, he happened upon him with a hey. And so Moshe felt it was gaivadik to say Hashem called to him in this kavod way with an aleph, and he didn't want to write it, and they compromised by making the aleph small. Okay? So this is being understood by all the commentaries, just taking for granted that it's this na'ar happened to be Behar Gilboa. So I don't know why the aleph is there in the other one. So he happened to be in Har Gilboa, which is where the war was. V'hine Sha'ul nish'an al chanito. And Sha'ul was leaning on his sword. Okay, so we know the story that Sha'ul leans on his sword and basically kills himself. We had a whole conversation of how that could have been allowed. And we justified it for Sha'ul that it was better he killed himself than his body be ridiculed by the idolaters, or that he be tortured by the idolaters while still alive, or whatever it would be. It was better. We justified his killing. Okay, so this is where Vihine Harachev Bale Haprashim Hidbakuhu. So he's saying all the enemies' horses and the commanders, they had gotten to him. Now here's where it gets a little sleazy. Vayfena Harav, and Shaul turned after him, Vayyureini, and he saw me. Vayikra Eli, and he called to me. Again, we have this Vayikra thing. Vaomer Hineni, and I said Hineni. Okay, now you're already getting a little idea of who this guy is. Who says Hineni?
Avram,
right? Moshe. Like, important people say Hineni when they are ready to fulfill a mitzvah or a task sent by Hashem. So he's saying, Hineni, King, I'm here for you. Okay? Chet Vayomer Li Miata. And he said to me, who are you? Vayomer Alav Amaleki Anochi. And I responded, I'm an Amalekite. Okay, now just Amaleki Anochi, according to this account, whether it's true or not, is going to be the last two words that Sha'ul hears, which again speaks to the tragedy of his death, that it's because he didn't kill the Amalekite, and now according to this version of events, he's going to be killed ultimately by an Amalekite. Okay? Tet, Vayomer Eli, and he said to me, Amadna Eli, stand upon me, Umotateni, and kill me. Ki achazani hashavats, ki kol od nafshi bi. Because this shavats has taken a hold of me, which we're going to see the commentators say, like, some kind of trembling, some kind of sickness, but we're also going to see it alludes to something else in this week's parsha, Tetzaveh. Does anybody know? It's very exciting. Okay. Anyway, so this Shavatz has taken a hold of me for the entire time that my soul is in me, meaning I'm really, like, you have to, he's saying euthanize me, basically, because I'm in this terrible state. Yud, Va'amod alav, and I stood upon him, Va'amotatehu, and I killed him. Because I knew that he couldn't live after he'd fallen on his sword. Okay, so he's justifying this. He's thinking he's giving David good news, and he's justifying his actions. Again, totally different from the account we read, which seemed purely a suicide by Shaul. And now, ve'ekach ha'nezer asher arosho, and I took the crown that was on his head, ve'etzada asher azaro. And this thing, how is it translated?
Armlet.
Yeah, whatever that is. So, it's on the first page. Armlet, okay. that was on his arm. There's some nice midrashim. I didn't include them. Ve'aviyem el Adoni Hainan. I brought them to my Lord here. There's some nice midrashim that say the head and the arm, that these were his tefillin. And, you know, sort of like certain rabbis who go out to protest in their talisim, kind of. So he was going out to war with his, you know, the symbols of the Jewish people as the king. So it's an interesting image to have in your mind of that. Okay, so now how does David respond? How does he react? Yud Aleph, V'yachazek David bibigadav, and David took his clothes. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the Kri and Ktiv here. Not this one, but it's just interesting. Like, so David, according to the way we read it, is he took a hold of his own clothing. But I think the Kri, the Ktiv, the way it's written, maybe he wanted to take care of this youth's clothing and rip him to pieces, but instead he took his own clothing, V'kra'im, and he ripped it, V'gam kol anashim asher ito, and also all the men that were with him. And we learn halacha here that when somebody important, when the king dies, it's the midrashim will actually say when the nasi and the av beit din, like the two heads of the yeshivas, die, that in Shaul would have been the head, and the his son Yonatan, the av beit din, that when they die, you have to tear kriya. Okay, and yod bet v'yispedu, and they eulogized him, v'yivku, and they cried, v'yatsumu ad ha'arev, and they fasted until the evening, al Shaul v'al Yonatan b'no, an Shaul and Yonatan his son, v'al am Hashem, v'al beit Yisrael, ki naflu b'charev, and on the nation of God and on the house of Israel, because they fell by the sword. Now, I think, again, chronologically, I think that just tells you what happened, the continuation of the day as a result of hearing of this death, but now we're right back at this conversation. I think this is happening at the same time. So Yud Gimel, Vayomer David al Hana'ar Hamagidlo, and David said to the Nahar, who told him, again, these superfluous words, which is making us doubt the whole story. Now that you know what the story is, you can understand why it's saying that. Emi Zata, where are you from? Okay, he already asked him that, right? Now look at his answer. Vayomer ben ish ger amaleki anochi. Instead of just saying amaleki, like he did the other time, he says, I'm the son of a, and this could be either an Amalekite convert or an Amalekite citizen. Okay, and the commentaries are going to differ in that. So either he's a true Jew, and his father was the Amalekite who converted, or he's somehow an Amalekite who's been living there because his father moved there. Okay? Yadalid, Vayomer elav David. David said to him, Ech lo yoreta lishloach yadcha l'shachet et Mashiach Hashem. How could you not have had fear of putting your hand to destroy the anointed one of God? Vayikra David le'echad me'anarim, and David called to one of the young men, his young men, Vayomer gash pegabo, and he said, go and hurt him. Ve'akehu vayamot, and he smote him and he died. Tetzain vayomer elav David, and David said to him, Damcha al roshcha, your blood is on your head. Ki picha anabecha, because your mouth answered for you. Lemor saying, Anochi motatzi at Mashiach Hashem, I killed the anointed one of God. It's very dramatic. Okay, so that's the parak. Now let's look at some of the commentary. So just to remind you, and we can read it in English, of what the actual narration was as we were seeing the scene from the perspective of Shaul. And the battle fell heavy upon Shaul, and the archers found him. And he was very much frightened of the archers. And we talked about that word frightened, which I preferred to say he was very much injured by the archers instead of frightened. The word is vayachel, which means you could be sickness. And Shaul said to his weapon bearer, draw your sword and run me through it, lest these uncircumcised men come and run me through and mock me. But his weapon bearer was unwilling, for he was very much afraid. And Shaul took the sword and fell upon it. So you see the difference between the weapons bearer, who knows how to have awe and respect for the anointed one of God, as opposed to this Amalekite and his telling of the story. And his weapon bearer saw that Shaul had died, And he also fell upon his sword and died with him. Just the honor and the kavod of the weapons bearer compared to the Amalekite, who is trying to ingratiate himself with David. He thinks he's sending David good news. Your arch enemy has, I killed him for you. And here's his sword, here's his crown and his armlet. And David, as is his way consistently throughout the entire time Shaul was chasing him, refuses to harm him. And the one time, if you remember, that he cut off the corner of Shaul's clothing, he feels completely guilt over that.
And he took his clothes.
Yes. Just and like he tore his own, yeah, he tore his own clothes here, right? So this is, you see the weapons bearer who is just the opposite of this Amalekite, and you also see how we don't really know how to take what the Amalekite said. It could be, we'll see, that maybe after the arms bearer killed himself, Shaul was still alive and the Amalekite came then, you know, maybe, but we don't know. Okay, now, just to add more intrigue to the story, and we're going to discuss this a lot, but just based on Rashi, Behine ish ba min hamachana, so who is this man who came from the camp? Yesh psikta shezed doeg. So there's a midrash that said that this is Doeg. If you remember, Doeg was the one who was opposed to David from the very beginning, and he tried to instill hatred and jealousy into Shaul, and he's the one who ended up killing all of the priests of Nov. Okay, that horrible debacle that Shaul oversaw. One of the other reasons given for his for Shaul's sins. But Rashi says, "Ve'eno miyushav alabi." But it doesn't seem plausible to me, which is very odd for Rashi to doubt a midrash like this. I mean, he'll say sometimes like, but it doesn't fit into the pshat. Like he'll give that type of explanation. But here to say it's not settled in my heart, as opposed to it's not settled in the pshat, is very interesting. So we're going to explore that a little more. Okay, so now the Radak. Ki achazani hashavatz. So this is where this trembling has taken hold of me. So he says, Shem chule, ulai kra le'adam machmat makat cherev. So maybe this is some kind of sickness that takes a hold of that happens to a person when their a sword has gone into them, when they are losing so much blood. V'tergem Yonatan, but now he brings in the Aramaic Targum of Yonatan. Are achadani retita. Oh no, that's the same thing. So this trembling has taken hold of me is how Targum Yonatan translates it. Ubidrash, but in the Midrash, and again this is this week's Parsha, Avon Nov Ir HaKohanim. This is the sin of Nov, the city of the Kohanim. Halov Shim Ketonet Tashbetz. You see Tashbetz, Shavatz? He's implying, I've been taken hold of, my sin has taken hold of me, of the image of the Kohanim in this very intricately woven garment. That's the Shavatz, okay? And that's Sheharagti, that I killed them. And that's why we have this imagery, and it should remind us of that. Okay. Radak Emi Zata, who, so this is when David says to the young man, asking him where he's from, Lo sha'al me'eza am. He didn't ask him from what nation. Sherei shama mesipur devarav ki amaliki hu. Because he heard from his own words that he was an Amalekite. Ela sha'al lo me'eza makom. Rather, he asked him from which place. Klomar im haya gar be'artso shehi eretz Amalek. If he were living in his land, which would be Amalekite land. Ve'ech nikra el ha'melchama. So how did you happen to be on this war? Ve'hu ana ki gam aviv ba me'eretz Amalek. The Garbe Eretz Yisrael. And he said that his father is one who came from Amalek and lived in Eretz Yisrael. Became Peresh Kol Ger Stam. And this is how we explain most of the time when the word Ger is used as a stranger. V'yesh mehem Ger Shenit Gayer. But there is also this possibility of Ger meaning a convert. V'shav Ledat Yisrael. And he returned to the religion of Israel. And perhaps this is what he was trying to say, Kishamar ben ish ger Amalek, when he said he's the son of a ger Amalek, shenit gayer, that his father had converted v'shav ledat Yisrael, and he had returned to the religion of Israel. So the Radak is unsure exactly what his status is, Jew or non-Jew. Okay? So that's what we're going to discuss. Excellent. Okay, that's going to be an issue. And that's why probably Radak is hesitant to say, to understand it that way. But good. Okay, damcha roshcha. Your blood is on your head. Klamar, ata garamta al atzmecha mitatecha. You caused on yourself your death. Ve Yonatan tergem, and again, Targum Yonatan translated, chovat ketolecha tihi bereshcha. The obligation of your having killed will be on your head. Ritzon lamar deme Shaul shaharagta yeshuva roshcha. And what it means to say is, the blood of Shaul that you killed will go back on your head. Ve'afshar ki lekach katav damecha. And perhaps this is why it's written, and if you go back to where it is, it's the last pasuk. The written is damecha, which is plural, your bloods. Again, back to what you commented, going back to Cain there. But we read it damcha, your blood, but the written is really your bloods. So the Radak is saying here, it's dam Shaul v'damcha. It's both the blood of Shaul and your blood, shneham aroshcha. They're both on your head. Meaning David is saying, my people have no responsibility for killing you. You're like a dead man walking, and you deserve to die because you killed Shaul. Okay? So now Malbi Mafa is a slightly different interpretation. So first, from the very first pasuk, Acharei mot Shaul v'David shav. So after the death of Shaul and David came back, Be'et shaka shimsho shaul, at the time that the sun of Shaul is setting, Ubnei Yisrael lo atzru koach lifnei oyvehem, and children of Israel, they don't have enough strength before their enemies, right? They're being plundered, they're being pummeled by the plishtim. Zarach shimsho shel David, the son of David is shining. Vehu ve'arba ma'ot ish nitzchu machane gadol ve'kaved ma'od. And he and only his 400 men, they succeeded in a huge and heavy camp, meaning the Amalekites. Okay? And now continuing on the Malbim, in the second part of the text, he asks a question, which is a really good question. It's different than Diane's question that we'll talk about later. Eich hargu al pi hoda'at atzmo ve'ein edim v'hatra'ah. How could David have justified killing this Amalekite boy just based on his own confession when there were no witnesses and no warning? Right? The death penalty is very strict in Jewish law. You have to have witnesses, you have to have a warning. You can't incriminate yourself in something and be given the death penalty for that. Okay, so damcha al roshcha. You have a question? Okay. Im nomar shehaya amalekei mamash. So if you want to say, and again, back to this doubt of the status of this guy. So if you want to say that he was actually an Amalekite, shebnei noach, I wrote that in because I had to look it up. It was bet nun, just so you know. So bnei noach, so he's a son of noach. Neharag b'lo hatra'ah. So for whatever reason, we're more either lenient or strict when it comes to Bnei Noach, and they can be given the death penalty even if they weren't warned. B'neharag afal hatrefa, and they can be killed even on a trefa. I don't know exactly what that's referring to, some halachic concept. B'neharag b'dayan echad ube'ed echad, and they can even be killed with only one judge and one witness, as opposed to, we have much more stricter standards for imposing the death penalty on a Jew. And so we could say that the one who's killed on his own confession, it's as if he's being killed by the testimony of a relative. And we need to look more into this, if this is really allowed halachically. And this is why David says, your mouth has answered for you. Okay, so that's how we kind of justify it there. That maybe he was not a Jew, he was a Amalekite, and then we can take all these liberties in justifying David's action.
Wasn't the Amalekim supposed to be killed?
Right, so that's interesting.
I mean,
also,
is that like later on, like 20 years later,
That's already Yehoshua's, but Shaul was supposed to kill all the Amalekim.
Right.
So I don't know, but he's claiming that he's either a convert or a Ger Toshav. Maybe I don't know. It's very interesting. Okay. V'im nomar shehi Yisrael. But if we're going to say, no, he was the son of a convert, and he was a Jew, ne'arag midin hamachut. So then we say he was killed by the judgment of the king. The king has certain liberties he can take. K'mo shekatuv, like it's written, ki picha nabacha lemar enochi motetziat Mashiach Hashem. Because your mouth is answered saying, I killed the anointed one of God. K'dei shelo yazidu leharim yad b'melech. So that people shouldn't think that they can lift their hand and harm the king. V'lekabalat chazal shehiya doeg. And now for that which was received from the rabbis, that this was actually doeg, she'achayav mita mikvar. So he should have died already, al nov yir hakohanim, on the sin of the nov, the city of the kohanim. She'alzer omer damecha v'lashan rabim. And this is why it says damecha, it's written, bloods, plural. Ramaz lo shagam shal harigat Shaul ein adam ne'aman al atzmo. It's a hint to him that even though on the killing of Shaul a man is not believed by self-incrimination, because of picha navicha, in any case your mouth has answered you, ki kvar hayita hagorem al harigat hakohanim v'hakohen ha-mashiach, because you were the cause of the killing of the kohanim and the anointed Kohen. So he's the Kohen Gadol, is also Mashiach Hashem, the anointed one. Shezer Ramaz Be'omro, Anochi Motatiat Mashiach Hashem. And that's what's hinted when he said, I killed the anointed one of God. So you saw that the Radak says the bloods, plural, was his own blood he's responsible for, and also Shaul. And here the Malbim is saying it's the plural is referring to the Kohanim of Nov, and that's why he was already obligated, even if he might not have been obligated in the death of Shaul, in a halachic way. Okay.
When we first come across Doeg, he's not introduced to us as an Amalekite.
No, but he is introduced to us as an Edomite. And what's the similar? Who's Edom? Esav, and where does Amalek come from?
From Esav.
Right, so it could be the same one. And we had explained it in the context that he lived in the Edomite land, and that's why he was referred to as an Edomite, but really he's a Jew. But understanding all these midrashim, you see it in a totally different light, that Edom and Amalek are one and the same to a certain extent. Okay. Al-Sheikh. So, Vayomer ha-na'ar ha-magid. And the young man who was telling him said, Yesh merabotenu omrim, so there are those from rabbis who say in Yalkut Shimoni, ki haya amaleke mamash, that he was actually an amaleki, ve'ratza lehitzgayer ve'lo kiblu. And he wanted to convert and they didn't accept him. Okay, and that's not going to be the end of that discussion either about accepting him. V'shezeu omro picha nabacha ki amaleke atah v'yamitehu. And this is what it said, your mouth has answered you that you are an amalekite, and he killed him. So that could answer also that he's an Amalekite and therefore he can't convert and he deserves death. And there are those who say he was the son of Doeg. So this is a different account of this. And there are those who say he himself was Doeg. And this is what it says, your bloods are on your head. Biyud bein mem lekaf, with a yud in between the mem and the chaf, and that's how it's written. Al ki damim rabim shel nov hayu al rosho, because there were many bloods of Nov, the city of the Kohanim, on his head. V'amra v'hine Shaul nish'an al chanito yia, and when he said Shaul was leaning on his spear, ki gam she'pil atzmo acharbo lo meitz legamrei, because when he had fallen on his sword, he didn't completely die, meha nifila, from this falling on a sword, v'kam ve'anishan al chanito. Oh, right, so this is a cherev versus a chanit, the sword versus the throwing spear that he was lying on. So it's explaining how his account could be reconciled with the previous account, that he then tried his own spear and he couldn't kill himself, so yes, the Amalekite. Okay, and the Mitzudat David. Okay, yeah, I want to read that also. Damcha al roshcha, your blood is on your head. Ritzon lomar avon mitatcha al atzmecha. What David is saying to him is that the sin of your death is on yourself. Ki ata be'atzmecha ha'adita becha, because you testified against yourself, she'ata haragto, that you killed him. Ve'af im ein ha'emet itcha, and even if the truth is not with you. Okay, so the Mitzudat David is accepting the different way the events are played out in each chapter. V'chol devaracha heima b'chol shevcha. And all of these words are in your thoughts. Shebezet timtzachin b'enai al shehaya me'olam li le'oyev. This still looks good in my eyes because you've always been my enemy. Mikol makom picha anabecha v'damecha al roshcha. In any case, your mouth answers you and your blood is on your head. Okay. So that's covered a lot of ground, but we still have a little bit more to go. Are you guys okay? continue?
Yeah.
Okay. So now we see from this, and again, we'll just read it in English. It's in chapter 4 of Shmuel Bet. It's going to reference this again. And this is when Ish-Boshet, who is the son, the last surviving son of Shaul, and he is reigning. There's still this little rebellious kingdom left of Shaul in the north. And these two guys, who we're going to say, Rachav and Baana, kill him. So that's where we are. And they brought the head of Ish-Boshet to David to Hebron. And they said to the king, "Here is the head of Ish-Boshet, the son of Shaul, your enemy, who sought your life. And the Lord has granted my lord the king vengeance this day of Shaul and of his seed." Now, these guys have to be idiots. We know how David felt about Shaul. He was very public about how he felt about Shaul. So how does he respond? "And David answered Rachav and Baana, his brother, the sons of Rimon, the Be'erotite, and said to them, 'As the Lord lives, who delivered my person from every distress, that he who told me, saying, Behold, Shaul is dead, and he was in his own eyes as a herald of good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag.'" Okay, so now we see what was going on. David tells us what was going on in his head. You think this is good news? The guy who thought it was good news that Shaul did, I killed him. Who had expected me to give him a reward for good tidings. "And much more when wicked men have slain an innocent man in his own house on his bed. And now shall I not hold you accountable for his blood and remove you from the earth?" And David commanded the young men, and they slew him and cut off their hands and feet and hanged them up beside the pool in Hebron. But the head of Ish-Boshet they took and buried in the grave of Avner in Hebron. Okay, so they treat Ish-Boshet with the kavod that David thinks he deserves as the son of Shaul, and he's buried properly, and the young men who thought that they were bringing David good news are themselves killed and hanged, which is the ultimate disgrace to a Jewish body. Okay, now this was interesting. Rav Bazak, I think if you want to read it on your own, this is a copy and paste from his shir, where he compares the death of Eli from a long, long time ago, Shmuel Aleph chapter 4, with the death of Shaul. What I just wanted to point out to you, so if you're looking at the account when the Amalekite tells David, it's in verse 4, so he says he fled, that there were many people who fled, and there were many people who fell from the nation, and Shaul died, and also Yonatan. So that's the order he gives it, as opposed to the one who's actually called a Mevaser in Perek Dalet. He says Israel escaped from before the Plishtim, and there was also a big plague on the nation, and the two sons died, Hophni and Pinchas, meaning Eli's two sons, and the Aron of God was taken. So he puts it in a completely different order, with the death of the sons of Eli, Hophni and Pinchas, and then the Aron of God. And at that point, when Eli finds out that the Aron of God, that's when he like has a heart attack, so to speak, and dies. So it's just the different priorities of the different people bringing the news. Okay, and you can see the similarities there, and both were pretty. Well, Shaul and Eli, it brings to mind, had a lot in common, because neither one. Eli's entire line dies, and his leadership also isn't continued, and the same with Shaul. Okay, now what's now who is the one who told the news? I think, according to this midrash, it was Shaul, which also kind of to Eli. Who's the one who told the news to Eli? In this story, it was Shaul, according to the Midrash, which just kind of ties the whole both stories together as well. So that's where you see it's bolded in Midrash Shmuel. Okay, so now, again, pre-Purim, there are a lot of things to tie in with the whole Amalekite thing. So this goes to the heart of Diane's question, which is exactly the question that everyone asks. How could he have converted? So the pasuk that we're not going to read Parshat Zachor, because we read the paragraph from Devarim about Amalek, but this is the first telling of the Amalek story when it actually happened in Parshat B'Shalach. So, Vayomer ki yad al kes ka milchama la Hashem ba'amalek midor ador. He said, "For there's a hand on the throne of the Eternal that There shall be a war for the Lord against Amalek from generation to generation. Okay, and so here, now we have some sources on this. I think I'm just going to read two of them. So let's look at the Mechilta, the Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Nishba HaMakom B'Kisei HaKavod Shelo She'im Yavo Echad Mikol HaMot HaOlam Leitgayer She'kabluhu. So Rabbi Eliezer says that Hashem made an oath on his throne that if anybody comes from any of the nations of the world to convert, that they would receive him. Ve'amalek U'le'amalek U'le'beto Lo Yikabluhu. But they should never accept Amalek. Okay, exactly what Diane said. Shenemar v'yomer David al hanar hamagidlo emi za'ata v'yomer ben ish ger amaleki anochi. And now he brings in our pasuk of David, who asks the na'ar where he's from, and he responds, ben ish ger amaleki anochi. Nizkar David b'ot hasha'ah. David remembered at that moment, ma shenemar l'Moshe Rabbeinu, what Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, im yavo echad mikol ha'amot sheba'olam litzgayer shekabluhu. If anybody from any of the nations comes to convert, you should receive him. But from Amalek you shouldn't receive him. Miad vayomer lav David damcha aroshcha ki picha ana b'cha lechach namar midor vador midor dor. So David says your mouth has answered you, meaning here it's a different perspective. Your mouth has answered you, not that you killed Shaul, but that you are an Amalekite, and therefore David took the liberty of killing him, as it says in our pasuk from Bishalach midor dor, from generation to generation. So he never should have been accepted.
It doesn't mention Moab or Ammon in this either.
Right. So, about the men, right. Well, I think for Amalekite, you can't even accept the women, so maybe
it's...
So.
Like,
yeah. I don't know, though. You're right. It didn't mention it. Okay, the other ones repeat some of the other midrashim that we saw in the commentaries, so we can skip those. And now we'll read... we have to read this Menorah Tamaor, which is just lists of numbers of things. It's a very interesting book. So he says, Gimel shehodu ha'amet ve'avru min ha'olam hazeh ve'ha'olam haba. There were three that admitted the truth, and they were removed from this world and the next world. Ve'eluhen, and these are them. Doeg ha'adomi, and this is talking about the original Doeg, when he recounts the story of David going to Nov. Ubnei Rimon ha'be'eroti, that's our story who killed Ishboshet. V'hamiraglim, and the spies. Rabbi Meir Omer Af Ben Ishger Amaleki, also the Amalekite boy. Okay, so just kind of pulling all those stories together. And now to conclude, the Shem Mishmuel. He's a Hasidish rabbi. I'm blanking on who he was. V'ulai gam be'agag haita ta'ut kazo. Perhaps with Agag there was also this mistake. Sorry, I'm not giving you the context, but you'll see. Shabasher Melechu Reshita'am Chashav Shemutav Lehachayoto Ulehachziro Lekedusha. Maybe Shaul thought that since he was the king and he was the first of the nation, that maybe it would be good to let him live and to return him to Kedusha. This sort of goes along with how we ended Shaul being like holy and not having any sin. Ach ze ta'ut kanerali. But this was also a mistake. She'en hanitzutz hakadosh sheba Amalek yachol lashuv lekedusha kamo shehu. Because even though there are sparks of holiness in everything, these sparks of holiness that are in Amalek, they can't return to kedusha as they are. Ve'ulai mitam ze nishba hakadosh baruch hu shelo yikabel gerim mezera Amalek. And maybe it's for this reason that Hashem made this oath that we should never accept converts from the seed of Amalek. Ela tzarich mikodem lahachrimo. But first we need to expel them. Put them in cherem. We can't ever accept them. Ve'az rak az al yedei sibot v'gilgolim shanim yachol lachzor l'kedusha. And then and only then, by way of different reasons and different reincarnations, can they return to holiness. Ve'afshar she'al zeh amruza. And perhaps it's because of this that the rabbi said, Mi b'nei banav shel Haman lamdu Torah b'nei Brak. Do you guys know this line? That the great-grandchildren of Haman learned Torah in b'nei Brak? Okay, so this is like a line.
He didn't have any great-grandchildren because all his sons were killed.
That's true. So we're going to see how he...
Unless they had kids before.
We're going to see how he explains it. Shelicha ora yiksha. At first glance, this is difficult. Har'e en mekablim garim me'amalek. We don't accept any converts from Amalek. How could they be learning? How could his descendants? They're Amalek. Umashma she'afilu b'di'eved im kiblu eno mekabal. And we learn that even if somebody accepted a convert from Amalek, they're not accepted. Kamosha harag David legera Amaleki. Just like David killed this Amalekite convert. She'ita b'pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer. That's written in the Midrash. Nishkar David, Nishba, Kadosh Baruch Hu, She'ein mekablim gerim ma'amlik. Like we read in the Midrash. That David at that moment remembered that you don't accept converts from Malik. Af shekavar haya mekubal. Even though he'd already been accepted. Sharei ben ish ger amaliki haya. He was the son of a Malachite ger. Upsikta shehu do'eg adami o ben do'eg lefi chalafi ager sot. Okay, that you don't need to know. Ve'an ikhtav le'el yesh lamar deha mi b'nei banav shel Haman lamdu Torah. And that which we said in the Gemara, that the great-grandchildren of Haman are learning Torah, haynu acher shenechremu v'nehergu al yedei sibot v'gilgalim shanim. These quote-unquote great-grandchildren of Haman, this is after they've been placed in cherem, so after they've been expelled, and they were killed by way of different reasons and reincarnations, nitlaben, they were cleansed. Nitzutza kodesh shahaya behem, these sparks of holiness that were in them were cleansed. V'shav achar kach l'olam hazeh b'guf acher. And they came afterwards into this world, into a different body. V'hem nikru b'nei b'nav shel Haman. And they are called the children of the sons of Haman. Ubaruch Hashem Hayodea. And blessed is the one who knows. Hashem will bless you all. Okay, so it's just an interesting notion of how to reconcile this idea of some sort of holiness coming from Amalek and these great-grandchildren of Haman sitting learning Torah in Bnei Brak, and this notion of accepting, not accepting Amalek, and how they can ultimately redeem themselves through many reincarnations. So it's a little crazy, but it should help us to go into Purim with a greater appreciation of Amalek and who they are and how they continue to show up in our lives of the Jewish people. And we defeat them each time. So everyone should have a wonderful Purim. And I'll see you guys in 2 weeks.